This is season 7 of Sessions, an impossible comeback story.
This podcast is brought to you by Hustler Casino and PokerAds.us.
This year, we play the game smarter, with more patience, and we keep a close eye on those who have stood in our way, those who have infringed upon our journey. Doesn't matter how long it takes, we're going to make it across that chessboard. And when we do, we're coming for you, Nids. Every last one of you. Let's do a real-time update. It's 8:36 p.m. on Friday night. Friday the 12th of April. I've been working since I woke up. It's pretty normal for me. I already recorded a drop. I'm going to record this one, produce it, and get ready for the next one. Not because I'm a workaholic, but because I suck at life, or I suck at something. I'm fucking dog shit at managing my life. I work hard, think I put out good content, and I never get out of the hole, and I never get an hour these days to just chill. And that's not poor me, that's just the story of that's just my story. That's just, found myself, I hit rock bottom in 2017, found myself in a deep hole, and all the efforts I've made to get out of that hole have led to some pretty cool stuff and taking care of some people I want to take care of. But it's also led to me just my life being work 24/7, 365, and not a lot of progress being made, and who gives a shit? I just wanted to vent a little bit. I'm just a little grumpy on this Friday night, and that's what you get with my podcast. I just tell the story, and here we go. Week 14 of 50. I was wrong. The session. Everyone who has signed up for $4.22 a month or more at patreon.com/DGAofPokerPlayer got a private drop of Sessions earlier today. That drop automatically showed up in their favorite podcast players due to some pretty cool technology called RSS feed. Basically, once you sign up on Patreon, you click a few buttons and voila, you get all my content. Well over 1,000 hours in total at this point, delivered right to your favorite podcast player. And each private drop, at least one per week, automatically gets delivered there as well. You also get membership to Patron Discord, a place that enables everyone who signs up to have discussions, play poker together with no rake, bet sports together with no vig, and buy pieces of me when I play on stream with no markup. Okay, having said all that promo-y shit, and that nice, poor me rant to get things going, let's get into this week's public drop of Sessions. Traditionally, these have been a review of one session that I played, a big session. And I start with the lineup, and then I just tell the story of the session, stopping at my best play, my worst play, and things that I think are noteworthy. And then at the end of that, I give updates on my yearly goals before saying adios. But traditional times, these are not. So like I did last week, I'm going to quickly recap all the sessions I played this week. 5 of them in total, all of them on DGAF's live poker show. Okay, so last the Patrons heard in that private drop that was released today, I had yet another rough week. But again, got my head right in time to play my first session of the new week. And that's going to be the plan again. Just get your shit together before you start playing poker on Sunday, because if you play poker with a shitty attitude, that's no bueno. So I was able to do that before playing a juicy 10-20 no-limit game on Domingo Grande, April 7th. This is the big weekly show on DGAF's live poker show. We cannot... It's actually pretty insane that we've had any success at all, given all the restrictions put on us. Can't have whole cards. Can't have a commentator calling the action, which you couldn't do anyways without hole cards. Can't have the casino put any equipment in for you. And we can't stream during normal hours, during peak hours. So if you tell someone that, they probably say, well, you can't have a stream. You can't have a poker show. Well, we have one. And it hasn't been perfect. And it hasn't even been fun lately. It hasn't. But that's growing pains. And it, you know, a lot of people are starting to like it. And yeah, I just think about that. Like, man, that's a lot of restrictions. And we're already doing better than the newcomers show, who has no restrictions and a budget that, you know, the casino putting together, you know, a set for them, and I'm sure they have, you know, several employees. No, this is just me and Peter the Rec started this, and he's funded all our equipment. Recently, we've had some players pitch in, players that really love the project. I know I sound like a bitter fuck right now, but I don't usually act like a bitter fuck when I'm at the Lucky Lady. That's bad hosting. I know sometimes I would get pretty grumpy when I played on Hustler Casino Live towards the end. I was disgruntled quite a bit. I'm usually pretty happy when I'm playing at Lucky Lady. I'm doing a lot besides just playing. But yeah, it really is something when you think about it, that we are having this success already with not even no help, but like people trying to keep us down or just restrictions trying to keep us down. It ain't gonna work. I don't know. So yeah, I was driving up from San Diego, and that's where I spend each weekend. That's where I'm at now. That's where my kids stay. And my stress level was on 10. And I was making my way down the hill at the end of the 73 toll road, you know, before you get back on the 405, or you get on the 405, I should say. And I just started smiling. It was Domingo Grande, a day for fun and high-stakes poker on my new show. And if you look at it that way, that's pretty cool. And this Sunday is the biggest game I play all week, although the Monday and Tuesday 2-5 games get huge. But the 10-20 can also get very big. And it's important that I do well on them, because I am buried in makeup. I downswung pretty hard this year and the end of last year on Hustler Casino Live. And so I need to climb out on my show, because I no longer play there, and I'm pretty sure I'll never play there again. So I just, you know, it's rough, and I don't need to keep saying it, but I just want to say that I did start smiling when I was getting on the 405. It was a beautiful, you know, day in Southern California. Many of them are. And I just love the idea of Domingo Grande. And you know, it's big, but it's not crazy stressful. It's 1 to 5K buy-in. And yeah, I got to my place in Long Beach, showered very quickly, shaved, got dressed, and headed to the Lucky Lady. And I did a pregame show, which, you know, that's probably just being a little too ambitious. We don't need to do those yet. And those, well, this one caused a little friction, and I don't know. I needed to take a quick piss while our 10 to 15 minute intro was running, and then, you know, open the show and start playing. And a week or two ago, Hannah Scorsese, after I tilted pretty hard one night, said, you know, you're the owner of this show. It's not a good look to tilt. And I said, well, I'm not doing it on purpose. But then I started thinking, she's right. Like, no matter what, when I'm there at the Lucky Lady and I'm playing on this stream, I need to be above tilt. I can get frustrated, of course, but I am the owner of the show, and there's, you know, this is a good thing overall. It's been rough lately, but it's a good thing overall, and so I start out stuck, and I'm handling it very well by my standards. And then, by the grace of God, or by the grace of Coronas, Sandman starts trying to bluff me off top pair. And he tries to do it for stacks in one hand. And I did not love calling the turn or river, but I did, and he just had rubbish. And what was interesting on this day, if you want to go check it out, the sign guy played on our show, the guy that holds up the sign about asking Garrett to pay Robbie back whatever amount of money. That's the sign guy, and he's always outside the Hustler, and he's on Twitter and social media. He came to our show and said he wanted to play. And so when we had a seven deuce bounty, that was the hand that we had. If you win with seven deuce offsuit, everyone pays you maybe 50, and then the last person to fold pays you 100. Well, in his honor, we changed that hand to jack four, and I benefited from that as well. People got dealt jack four, and I kept having a pair and didn't think their line seemed very value-oriented. And I played 6 hours on this day. Our show's 4 hours, but our producer, Hannah Scorsese, was happy to let us go an extra 2 hours, and I won $4,800. And you know, it's not like I was flopping sets and coolering people. I just made pairs a few times. And, you know, luckily for me, people were, you know, trying to punt it off or trying to get me to fold, which isn't the best idea probably in general. And so $4,800 is a drop in the bucket in makeup over $50K. I was playing bigger at Hustler Casino Live, and I'll get out of it. Over time, I always win in poker. It hasn't been going my way lately, but not much has been. So I personally had 10% of myself. I won $480. Okay, I'll take it. And I'll take that $480 and take that producer, Hannah Scorsese, to this restaurant between Hustler and Lucky Lady. If you didn't know, they're less than a mile apart. But there's one, a pho place that we go to called Pho Daily. And I think Tita showed it to us. Tita, who does the, you know, everything over there. And we're going to go there after this 6 hour session. And we get, there's two booths in the right corner when you walk in. And we get the one closest to the door and the one closest to the back wall. There's this giant gangster dude in there, you know, head tattoos, face tattoos, all that shit. He had two bowls of cut limes and a couple soju bottles. And he was on his phone, like watching some weird content and then making calls and kind of giving orders and whatnot. So many times lately, I've come across inconsiderate people who are less crazy than I am. They have less fire inside. You know, and I'm not like a crazy person by nature, I don't think. I'm pretty chill, actually. But in my current state, I've been on the grind for 7 years, and only for 9 months or so, right before the year, 2 years ago, before Jack 4 happened, I was seeing progress. Everything else has been stagnation or worse, or going backwards. And you know, my monthly nut is absurd, and that's part of it. And yeah, so, but so many times I'll come across someone and it's clear. It's always clear when two people are a little bit crazy, they know who's crazier. And so many times lately, it's been me. This was a nice change. It was clear this guy was much crazier than me. If things went down, he would win. Let me take a sip of this Coke Zero. All right, that's not bad. I got up and I got organized on Monday, April 8th. You know, so after that, Pho Daily just went back, got a little bit of sleep, and got to get up for two games on Monday. The first one being a public 2-3 no limit. I don't love playing 2-3 no limit. But I do love building things, and I love content, and I love including people and stuff. But also, it was going to be tough to get this game going. And, you know, I'm very tired, but I've been texting Why was it FUD daily? While I was trying to sleep or fall asleep as soon as I got up, trying to get people to join me for this public 2-3 no limit. The idea is that if you stream it, they will come. But you have to message it well too. And you have to like, we need some support. We need a couple things like, you know, we need Poker Atlas to work, for instance. It's going to be hard for people to sign up if Poker Atlas, their name falls off after 60 minutes. But this is the process. And I stopped by Hustler on my way to Lucky Lady because I want to drop off a couple checks for my startup, Poker Rags. I was doing the merchandise for both the Hustler and High Stakes Poker Productions. So typical of me in business, I made a deal where I made $0 off selling their merchandise. And those are the last two checks. And it was cool to see some people in there I hadn't seen in a while. And John, the photographer over there, handed me a couple posters that I was on. Everything is coming down and changing. Christian Soto's the new poster boy now. And I actually recommended him in my exit. And there are two billboards in LA that I'm on, and those are coming down. And I've asked marketing to tell me when, because I want to film it and just, I don't know, I think make some good content from it, maybe. So anyways, it was, you know, cool to see a couple of people and get that stuff. And John's so cool, and he wants to be supportive of this DLPS. And hey, man, we'll fucking take it. We'll take anyone wanting to be supportive of it. Give us all the restrictions and it doesn't matter to me. And let me be a grizzled fuck on a Friday night. It doesn't matter. It's going to go well, I think. We do a lot of things right, and we have something that no one else has. And that is that live interaction with the chat. The players are looking up at big screens that have the chat, and there's no delay. And you're, it's like you're watching a streamer play a video game, and that's very popular. And so you're interacting with that person playing a video game. Well, now you're interacting with a whole table of poker players, the dealer, whoever comes in. And we also have confessionals, which people like. So we're working around these fucking restrictions. It's the path less traveled. You know, it would be much easier to just go somewhere that doesn't have restrictions and just say, I could do this shit real well. But that's never really been my style. I don't know. So, you know, whatever. It's nice to get a little support. And head to Lucky Lady. And someone that was leaving Lucky Lady is this guy named Sean. And I talked him into staying, partly because I really like him, partly because I know everyone else really likes him. Hannah Scorsese really likes him. And partly because he's got that hustle that I've got. He is... When he's at work, it's to work. It's to generate business. It's to give customer service. And this guy's doing everything on this day. He's getting chips. He's running the board. He's also sitting on our game to get it started. And I run pretty poorly. And I'm down 1,000 pretty quickly. And then I have a cool hand against this cool guy named Caesar. Caesar bluffed off 300 to me. What happened was he 3-bet and I called with 10-9. It came Jack 10-7. That's a middle pair and gutter. And I checked, and he bet. And I called, and I said, I know you have ace-king. I was joking. But the turn brought a queen, which would make ace-king the nuts. And he bet again. So, you know, if he had ace-king, I'm obviously drawing dead. But I decided... I'm not just giving him ace king. I was just saying that as a joke. And I called, and the river was a brick, and I checked, and he bet 200. So I have 10-9 on Jack 10-7, Queen X. And this is a 2-3 game. 200 is a sizable bet in this game. And I just went real primitive and decided this guy wants me to fold, so I'll call. And I called, and he just tossed his cards in the muck. So he punted off 300 to me, and I appreciate it, Caesar. Thank you. I only lost $700 in this public game where you know, I'm scrambling to get it going. I'm telling people let your microphones hit the floor. I'm just doing what I can to get this show off the ground. And there's a lot of stress in the air. And it's time for me to go take a break in between shows. There's going to be a night show. And I have so much to do. And I'm always doing stuff on my phone, even when I'm driving, which, you know, isn't great, but I am. Well, my phone dies. And so I actually get to enjoy the commute back to Long Beach. And if you leave at 5 p.m. from Gardena, you know to not go on the 405 because you ain't getting there anytime soon. What you do is you take the 110 south, which really feels like east to me, but whatever. It's called 110 south. I mean, sorry, really feels like west. It feels like you're going to the ocean, but I guess it is south. And then you take that nice bridge into downtown Long Beach. I actually really love that drive. I love looking down at all the containers, the ships and everything. And so sometimes it's cool when your phone dies. I got back there, started charging my phone, and I took Hannah Scorsese to get some sushi. And then I tried to get a nap in, but I couldn't. I just was kind of wired. And also, it was the final game of March Madness. I was betting $100 a game to start. I got stuck $2,200. I kicked it up a little bit before I got stuck $2,200. And I've been clawing my way back. And I had been on a roll. I'd cut my deficit to $500 before the women's finals on Sunday. And I was allowed to pick. I took South Carolina. And the over, South Carolina for 300, over for 200, that cut it to even. And I had UConn for 300 and the under for 200. And both of those things happened. So I did some nice chasing with my sports betting. And like you heard, like when you're on Patron Discord and if you qualify for it, you bet sports with no VIG. And I don't pay juice when I bet sports. I have so many people I can just text and say, hey, I want this. And they'll say, cool, you got it. And then if they want to bet something against me, I'll book it because it's just a coin flip. And it was nice. Went back in to Lucky Lady for Make It Back Monday. I believe in branding. And I was thinking, like, what goes with Monday? Just to let you in on the Sunday game. Well, that needs to be like my Max Payne Monday. I need to play 10-20, which turns into 10-20-40. But I made it 1K to 5K just to keep the player pool protected. And the game still will have plenty of action that way. And initially, I was going to call it Bloody Sunday. Because Sunday is the only day I can play at a normal hour on stream. Because Hustle Casino Live doesn't stream on Saturday or Sunday. And so, you know, Max Payne Monday, that was kind of, you know, I didn't do it alone, but I built that show over there. And I was going to, fuck it, do Bloody Sunday. And I just wanted to be different. I wanted to be more festive, tap into, like, Latin culture a little bit and do Domingo Grande. And so what to call Monday? And Make It Back Monday. That's just like a, you know, you have a rough weekend, make it back. I don't know. I think it's going to stick. This was the best lineup for me in a while. And I don't mean in terms of profitability. Yeah, this game's going to be plenty juicy. But it was just the friendliest lineup. And I was very aware of my role at the table as owner. We got off to a rough start. There were some technical difficulties. That's show business. But after that, it was going along fine. And I used to, you know, I can't just play like I used to play back in the day where if someone's playing too tight, I would just really go after them in all ways. If they're playing too tight on my show, well, if they're bringing value to the show, it's okay. And like either way, I'm just going to be nicer. And I don't know. I thought this was the friendliest lineup. It was the most fun lineup. Not like the most profitable, but the most fun. And also I was in the zone. And I've kind of like, even though I've been a total shit show in my life, I've kind of been in the zone at the poker table lately. Just making the right decisions in the big pots, just making the good reads. I had a memorable hand against Julia from Palmdale. She said, this better not be in your podcast. Sorry, Julia. It's just the story. It's in my podcast. I won't get in the details of it. It's on Twitter if you want to check it out. My Twitter is at DGAF Poker Player. But basically, I called her down very light. Queen high. And she apparently thought it was because I read her eyes, that she was nervous or something. And I will say that is not what it was. Sometimes I get read off someone's face or their throat or something like that. But, you know, that carotid artery or whatever. But no, my vision's not even that good. That even, you know, if you're across the table, can't really see that. It was a couple things that led me to... It was a combination of things that led me to make this call. And that's how I play poker, is I try and weigh all the variables. And I also try and do it while entertaining people and providing action. And this is what I talk about my B-minus game. I'm going to be in there a ton with bad hands. I'm not going to pay that much attention to little things. But when it comes down to it, I better find it. I better find the right decision. And whether that's a call, fold, raise, bet, whatever it is, I've been doing that lately. And, Julia can be a tough poker player. And she's got the best of me a bunch in the past. I appreciate her. And she was really part of the fun element on this night. But, yeah, so I didn't really put it in my podcast, you know? I just kind of, brushed over it. I had a chance to win a lot on this night. This game, these two five games might make it back Monday and Spewy Tuesday. Man, they can play real big. You know, they get uncapped sometimes. Someone gets stuck. They say, can we take the cap off? Yep, take the cap off. And it's 2, 5, 10, 20, 40, 80. You know, people are straddling for whatever. It gets real big. I had a really cool min raise I want to tell you about. You know, because I do need to put some poker in here. It can't just be me venting and then telling a story. I got to put some poker in here. So I had raised, and Haruka on my left had 3-bet, and she was playing snug as a bug in a rug. But no one gives a shit in this game. Like, they're calling, trying to crack her. And so someone called behind, and Eddie T, who was really giving action, called, and I called, and maybe someone else even called. It was either 4 or 5 ways, and I had King Jack, not a great hand for the situation, but the one the dealer dealt me. And had everyone else folded to me, I would have folded to that 3-bet. But no, I'm going to get in there, you know, closing the action, getting a great price. The flop came 9-8x. Yeah, I didn't flop anything, but I rarely do. And it checked to Haruka, who checked back. And so I just really felt like at that point in time, she didn't have much, right? And then the player behind her checked as well. Maybe it was Julia, maybe it was someone else. The turn's a queen of clubs. Okay, so now I have a gut shot. 9-8x, turn queen of clubs. Or there's 3 clubs out there now on the turn. And Eddie T, who's really been gambling, jams his stack in there quickly. And I know, and I put no in imaginary quotation marks. I know this is a draw. So he just jammed a draw on queen 9-8x. Could be 10-7, could be 7-6, could be clubs. My king high could be good here, irregardless. So even if it's not against his range, I certainly am getting the right price to call, to continue, I should say. And now what about the people behind me? At maximum, the people behind me could have just turned top pair. So I don't want to call and have them call, and then now I'm just drawing to a gut shot where I feel like if I can isolate this draw, there's a chance I have the best hand now. And either way, I'm going to have decent equity against him and push out the people behind me. And I did. I raised. And it's okay if he wins the pot, if I accidentally protect him, it's okay because he's the one providing all the action. And so they folded behind to my raise, and then, you know, so then I take back my raise. We just play for the main. He had a pair and a flush draw. So I had plenty of outs. You know, I have a gutter and two live cards. You know, what's that? That's, you know, 10 minus the clubs. I had plenty of outs, and I didn't hit, and he won with the pair. And I just thought it was a really cool play. Like, you're raising king high here into a dry side pot. Yeah, because you're pretty sure the guy who jammed has a draw. And so against his range, you have to continue, but you also hate it if anyone else continues behind you. I thought it was pretty cool. Let me take another sip. All right, and then I had, so, you know, I could have binked, or I could have run into a different part of his draw range, whatever. I didn't. And then I had a pretty big all-in with ace-queen against ace-nine, and we ran it twice and chopped. And, you know, had I won that, I would have won, you know, pretty decent on this night. I still won 1,700, and I was really, you know, proud of my play. It's what I wanted to be. It was a perfect B-minus performance. Give it away pre-flop. Just get in there. We don't track VPIP on my new show. Mine's probably 75, especially in the 2-5 game. But, you know, I take a knife to a gunfight. And often my opponents have knives too. And that's what you got to figure out as the hand develops. And, yeah, lately I've been making the correct decisions in the big spots. And if I do that, despite all my spew and drinking, whatever, it's very profitable. I win. And I've had some chances to win more, but you know, I'll take it. I won 4,800 the night before, and I lost 700 in the day. I won 1,700 here, and I decided to do the Del Taco cleanse. What does that mean? Well, went back to my spot in Long Beach and got Del Taco, which I often do. But the play in general is just to get fries and a quesadilla, right? But sometimes all the stress, the alcohol, and the energy drinks, and the shitty sleep, you get a little backed up. So you need a cleanse. So you add a Del Taco, and when I woke up a few hours later on Spewy Tuesday, April 9th, that Del Taco cleanse was in full effect. My system was working just fine. I'm sure you want to know about that. And you're welcome. So this day, Tuesday, April 9th, was one of the most stressful days in recent memory. It was a life shortener. And just one that makes you question so many things and really makes you want to drink. I'm not getting into the details of it, but it sucked. It was horrible fucking day. And then, you know, then it's okay. Well, and that's why this podcast wasn't delivered that day. It was just, you know, a shitty day. And then it was time to play on Spewy Tuesday, 10 o'clock, and that's that juicy 2-5 game, and it was nice to see Nikos and Malia. Nikos was a little bit grumpy. He had played all day on HCL and lost a bunch post-stream, I guess. But Malia was not, and either way, it was great to see both of them, and Vent was there. That's someone that's becoming a star at DLPS. Eddie Testosterone, same thing. And Kent got in the game. Kent has been on HCL, and this other guy, Shu, and then Dave Grohl, of course, who's been playing quite a bit on our show. And Kent's like the pro in the lineup, and I was making some good plays against him. I made a good call down. I mean, I had trips, but it wasn't easy. Like, I needed him to be bluffing over multiple streets, and people just, they didn't used to do that. I used to do that, but no one else used to just, you know, bluff on paired boards over multiple streets. Because if you're wrong, it's just so bad. And I almost leveled myself into a fold. I didn't. I also had a really nice bluff against him where I had just taken like a line. I don't remember the exact details. I think I had 8-3, and I think the board was like king 6-5, king deuce, and I had 8-3. That's a great fucking hand. And I had done something to just suggest I had a good hand. And I bet 400 on the river like I would with a good hand targeting a weak range. And Kent raised to 1,200. And I immediately said, I just don't know if I'm calling or raising, Kent. I don't want to knit roll you. I had 8 high, but I knew I wasn't folding that shit because I didn't believe Kent. And so I just kind of talked a little bit. And I just decided on a number that didn't look too fishy. and I just raised to like, I don't know, 2,200 or something, and he folded. And we show our cards because there are no whole card readers, no RFID readers. So you show, and I won a nice pot with 8 high. I don't know, I won, you know, 2K in that hand. Yeah, and so, but I was just kind of I've been in the flow state lately, despite having a shitty fucking day and like the stress and whatever. I just have been making the right play in the big spot. Sometimes I lose that ability. I fall out of that zone, and that's when it can get ugly. Of course, the dealers could just deal me the fucking coolers, like, you know, but they haven't been doing that too much lately. So I was happy about that. And then it's about to happen. My upswing is about to happen. I have 10-8 on queen 9-7. And I have 10-8 with a diamond, and there's two diamonds, and the turn's an offsuit 6, or the board on the turn is queen 9-7-6 with two diamonds. I have 10-8. That's the stone cold nuts, and I have the 10 of diamonds. And Dave Grohl bet, and with the stone cold nuts, I raise, and Kent jams behind me. But Kent's jam does not reopen the action, and Dave Grohl calls, and I call. And there's probably 9,000 in there. And I have the stone cold nuts. And he has a good hand. So just give me a break. And you know, I'm just going to get the rest. And the river is a diamond. So if he had a set or whatever, he didn't fill up. But he checks. And I bet 800 into 9,000 or whatever. And he check raised all in for 1,400 more. You have to be pretty damn sure you're not folding the best hand here. And I just decided he has to have diamonds. And I did, and he had diamonds. So, you know, he had 8 outs. And, you know, that's the same amount of outs pretty much I had when I isolated Eddie Testosterone's jam the night before with King High. And, yeah. You know, it would have been cool if I binked that. It would have been really cool if he didn't bink this one, because this is how, like, heaters start. And, yeah, it was – I got a lot of bluffs through. And when we get deep, I just do get many bluffs through. But it was kind of what could have been had I won that pot that ended up being, like, over 10K. You know, I saved my last 1,400 or whatever. But I was proud of my composure on this day. You know, a couple nights in a row where I played well despite a lot of stress. But this one was a really stressful day. And I drank a lot to kind of numb that pain. And I still was able to make the right decisions in the big spots. I won $2,900, but it could have been so much more. And I took an Uber back to my spot. I ate some chips and dip and then slept fucking terrible. But that's the story when you just work and work and work. And at some of your work, you drink a lot. So got up on Wednesday, April 10th, 2024. And just in addition to like all this stuff, I'm sick. But I can't take a vacation. And I can't even like justify being sick. And I've acknowledged that that's maybe a nitty trait, like that if I'm getting other people sick because of that, that's bad. That's real fucking nitty. And I just, but during this week, it's just a blur to me. And I'm just like, well, being sick's not an option. I just have allergies. And, you know, I don't really know, but felt like shit. And I took a shower and, went in Lucky Lady, and the Poker Atlas had been working for a couple days, and our messaging is getting better, and I was able to start two 3 no limit games at noon on Wednesday. We struggled to get one at night, and this is two at noon. This idea is working. Start a stream and make it accessible to everybody. Include everyone, at least in the early games each day. And yeah, that was good. You know, but it took some of my carny ways. If you didn't know, back in the day, I was a traveling carny, not really a carny like on the rides or whatnot. But I ran the games, you know, those oval rims. I ran those, and like I ran some of like food stands and coffee stands and cigar stands, and like I traveled and hired people and I learned how to hustle, like how to like, you know, get people going, and felt really good to get two games going. And I was in another, you know, 2-3 full ring game, which is not my favorite. I decided to go live on X just to experiment with new content, and marketing team showed up and wanted to meet with me. And so I took a break and did that and talked to them. And I just ran so deaf when I was at the table. I was buying it for 300 at a time. I missed a combo draw. That's a buy-in. My second buy-in was great. I had straddled I definitely restraddled to 10, and people just limped in, and I just jammed 300 with ace 10 offsuit or whatever I had left. Yeah, 300. And Caesar, who bluffed off 300 to me on Monday, now on Wednesday, calls with king 4 suited. So he just calls my jam with king 4 suit. I have ace 10 offsuit, run it twice. Both times the board runs out four X's, just nothing, 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 and then a four. So he wins both boards. That was kind of poetic. My third one, we were doing the seven deuce game. I had seven deuce. I three bet. My opponent had ace X and flopped an ace. Great. And you know, I bet it, and he called, and I wasn't putting any more money in it because I knew I wasn't getting an ace to fold, but it ran out diamond-diamond for four diamonds, and now I have to shove. And, you know, I can have the big diamonds. He can't because I know he doesn't have a big kicker, and he called me with ace-deuce and with the deuce of diamonds after tanking for, like, 15 minutes. Or not 15 minutes, but, like, 5 minutes, and then I was in there with ace eight of hearts in this big bloater, and it came 10, 9, 7, 2 hearts. That seems like a great flop. And we got it all in. And my opponent had pocket nines, flopped a set, ran it twice, lost both. Some guy that was like just doing the most ridiculous shit flop trips, and I turned top pair, lost one there in like a, you know, three bet pot. And then I king jack suited, flop came queen jack nine with one of my suit. And I got all in against aces, which, you know, I have like 30-some percent equity. Break that. Just kept breaking. I lost $3,000. I lost 10 buy-ins. I don't even know if I won one hand. Yeah, it was ugly. And I felt horrible. And I felt a lot of stress. And, you know, it just kind of felt like made me start questioning what the fuck I'm doing with my life. And I left 15 minutes early. I just couldn't stand the idea of losing more than $3,000 in a 2-3 game sober. Like, what the fuck? And I said in my thing I wanted to drive into the ocean. So, yeah, we're right in the midst of another rough week. So, most of them are that way. And I guess just let that be a cautionary tale to try to never lose track of things in your life to where you might kind of hit a bottom and then realize, holy shit, I'm buried in debt. And I've been a poker pro for so long, and I don't really like poker anymore because I've run too bad lately. And I don't know, whatever cautionary tale you can pull from it, do it. But, and I know this is kind of a fucking grumpy, you know, poor me drop, but it's how I'm feeling tonight, and that's what you get with sessions. So, you know, there's a trillion podcasts out there. So if you're not into it, understandable. Let's check the goals. 2024 goals. They're three numbers: 61, 20, 240. I want to win 60% of my sessions, and I've won 15 of 23. So we're there. I just haven't had any big wins, and you know, I came close. I was one card away on Tuesday night, but yeah, you know, I just fucking Dave Grohl rivered me, and yeah, it's, you know, I got pretty in makeup playing twice a week and bigger, and now I'm playing once. No, it's probably about the same, probably just a little smaller. I just, you know, I'm not like in there flopping a set against an overpair and those easy ones where you just win a bunch. I haven't had many of those lately. And, you know, I've been on the other side of them for sure. So 15 to 23, I don't know. I can tell you that's above 60%. So yeah. 120, that's 120K debt I want to be in. That might sound crazy. Well, I was over $250,000 in debt when I kind of had an awakening in 2017 when I hit the bottom. I'd been spiraling for 5 fucking years and not even realizing it. And I'd been playing high stakes and borrowing, and I'd always borrowed because I had no money management skills, and then I'd pay back when I won. But that year I didn't really, it just, everything went wrong. It was my only losing year ever. And so, you know, I just kind of made a decision. I want to keep my kids in their spot. And, you know, it took me a few years to get my own residence. And my monthly nut has grown again, history kind of repeating itself. But I got it down to about 100K in debt that year. I guess that was 2022, where I was crushing and everything was going fine until that dumb jack forehand, which I wasn't a part of, but really threw me off. And I've talked about that enough. And yeah, it's back up to 188,275. Yeah, that's a, I've played a lot on stake. I've given backers in profits over the past few years, like, you know, 150K. So it's just, you know, that's a cautionary tale in itself. I mean, bankroll management, all that. I've been not great at it. And then 240 means I want to weigh 240 pounds. And I'm 260 right now. So I got work to do there as well. And that's what I do is work. I'm going to produce this and then work on the next one until I just decide it's time to go to sleep or whatever. But you can hear what happens the next. What happens next? Sessions drops are not always this fucking depressing, embarrassing, pathetic. Occasionally they are. Rarely they are, but it's how I've been feeling today or tonight. And so that's what went into the microphone. If you want to hear more, hear if maybe something good ever happens, go to patreon.com/DGAFPokerPlayer. You can get the entire story. If nothing else, it's a good bedtime story. My cadence or flow, whatever you want to call it, is good for bedtime. I know that, and it's less than $5 a month. So, yeah, one yellow chip a month will cover it. That's it. Peace.